And now for our concluding message on Here Comes the Bride, will you turn in your Bibles once again to the 24th chapter of Genesis, and I shall now begin reading at verse 53. Genesis chapter 24, verse 53. Have your Bible handy. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, "Send me away unto my master." The engagement is finally announced, and the wedding day is now drawing nigh. We are nearing the close of the history of the patriarch Abraham. He has sent his servant Eliezer to seek a bride for his son Isaac in this chapter. And now, the bride is all ready and will soon be on her way home to meet her espoused husband. Now, all of this we have seen becomes a picture of our salvation and the calling out of the church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his own praise and glory. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit into the world to seek a bride, the Son of God, for him alone over 1900 years ago. And after all these centuries, the end of the journey is drawing near. In our study today, we have Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, in the house of Rebekah the bride. She has decided to go with the servant upon the testimony which he has given of Isaac. It was a very personal decision which she had to make. No one else could do it for her. And so we read in verse 57, "And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said," just three words, "I will go." This was the simple decision which Rebekah made, fully convinced in her own mind that she was doing the thing which was right and proper. Now it is interesting to notice what it was that Rebekah was asked to do. There are three things which stand out prominently in the record here. Here they are. First of all, Rebekah was asked to go with a person she had never known before. Secondly, she was asked to marry a man whom she had never met. And thirdly, she was asked to leave her home and go to a country she had never seen before and from which she might never return. But she said, "I will go." And that settled it. It was faith, simple, absolute, trusting faith in the word of Eliezer the servant, produced by the treasures of Isaac which he had brought with him. So, too, the only way that sinners can be saved today is by that same simple faith in the Spirit's testimony and the treasures of this wonderful book. God asks us to believe the Holy Spirit and his testimony and the Word of God, though we have never known him before, to put our trust in a Savior whom we have never seen, never met, and to trust our destiny to a guide who will take us to a heaven where we have never been before. Salvation, then, is by simple faith and faith alone. How wonderfully Peter expresses it in 1 Peter 1:8, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And so Rebekah prepares herself and places herself in the complete care and protection of this servant Eliezer, whom she trusts to the utmost. "And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way." Genesis 24:61. Rebekah followed the man, we are told, for he knew the way. He acted as her guide, protector, entertainer, sustainer, all along the long, long, tedious journey to her husband Isaac. In this connection, we should read very carefully again John 16:12-15. Here our Lord, in speaking of the blessed Holy Spirit, so clearly foreshadowed by Eliezer the servant here, says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show them unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Now those are the words of our precious Lord Jesus Christ himself concerning the ministry of the Spirit today. Now, if you'll go back to Eliezer and Rebecca and go with them on their journey, you'll see how this corresponds to the story. The trip is a long and wearisome one, but all the way the servant encourages her with more and more additional information about Isaac and his glory and his wealth and his beauty. And then at the eventide, as they sit about the campfire and the servants have retired, he tells her still more, opens up a few more of the bags of Isaac's wonderful treasures. For remember, there were 10 camels laden down with these treasures for the bride. Every night he shows her new treasures, more beautiful than before. All day as he guides her on the way, he speaks of Isaac and tells her of the things to come. He glorifies the son. He speaks not of himself. And that is just exactly what the Holy Spirit is said to do today. He witnesses with our spirits that we are the children of God. He tells us about the Son, Jesus Christ, and all his glory through this wonderful, wonderful bag of treasures, his marvelous word. And as we travel along, he opens up again and again and again new bags of treasures from this precious book, new wonders from the word, until sometimes we too become so anxious to see him that it just seems we can't stand it any longer. And that's just exactly, beloved, what we have been trying to do in these messages all along on Abraham during these past many weeks, just to take the treasures of this book and try to get you to see them, to make you see the wonderful treasures of this wonderful word, the word of God, which the Holy Spirit brings to us concerning the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we travel along and study this book and listen to the Spirit, we learn more and more about him. And our love for him increases and grows until one of these days, suddenly, we too, like Rebecca, shall see him as he comes to meet us. And so will you look with me on how the story of the bride ends in this wonderful chapter, Genesis 24. How many days the journey lasted from Mesopotamia all the way to Isaac's home, we do not know. But then one day, I read in verse 62, Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. The camels were coming. Isaac had undoubtedly gone into the field to meditate upon his coming bride, to look for the return of Eliezer and Rebekah many, many days. And at long last, behold, the camels are coming, carrying the bride. At the same time, Rebekah saw Isaac afar off also, and we read in verse 64, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. How unfathomably rich, how inexpressibly precious is this wonderful, tender scene. When Rebekah saw Isaac, she lighted from the camel. Some translators tell us that she fell off the camel. Undoubtedly, she recognized him. And now her traveling days are done. Her carriage on this long journey through the wilderness is no more needed now, and she covered her face in adoration and worship before her lover and dismounted from her camel. And we today as believers have almost reached this very point in our journey. For 1900 years the Spirit has been here gathering out the bride and guiding her on her long way home. Soon, yes, we believe very soon, we too will one day lift up our eyes and lo and behold, Jesus our lover, our Savior, will break through the clouds to meet us. Like Rebekah lighting from the camel of mortality, we will leave our earthly vehicle and rise to meet him in the air with glorified bodies when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That day, beloved, is almost here. We believe this with all of our hearts. And then the story ends like a real storybook. They lived happily forever after. Here is the tender close of this touching scene in verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And now we draw the tent flap shut and leave the happy honeymooners to themselves. But before we close, will you notice that Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother's tent? Sarah, we have seen, was the mother who gave birth to the man-child, to the son. She represents Israel, the nation set aside, buried among the other nations, while the bride is being brought home, and now she is taken into Sarah's tent. Rebekah represents the church who now enters Sarah's tent and becomes with Israel partaker of the full blessing of Abraham. This is undoubtedly what Paul refers to in Romans 11 when he speaks of the olive tree Israel, whose branches were broken off in order that the church might be grafted into the stump of Abraham and with Israel become a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, Romans 11, 13 and 24. The bride is home at last, and we leave them in the tent by themselves on their honeymoon. But one of these days, our lover, our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, will behold the camels coming and come to meet us and take us to the place he promised when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And now just a thought in closing as we come to the conclusion of this series of messages. In Genesis 25, we have Abraham marrying again, as we pointed out before, and raising a big family in fulfillment of God's promise that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed and his seed be like the dust of the earth. After the rapture and the wedding of the Lamb in the sky, Jesus will come to this earth with his bride to set up his kingdom, and in him shall all nations of the earth be blessed. When Abraham's covenant will be completely fulfilled, when God will, as he tells us in Micah 4:3, cause men to beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. And so we conclude our series of messages on Abraham. May God use them to cause many to heed the pleadings of the Spirit and be saved, and may we as believers lift up our eyes on high and look for him who is almost at the door. One of these days, thank God, we shall lift up our eyes. And we will say to the Holy Spirit within us, "Who is that?" And he will say, as Eliezer said to Rebekah, "That's him. That's him." And instead of lighting from the camel, we'll rise up in the sky, for the Lord himself will call us home to meet him. We do not know when it will be, but we know it is coming. And then, too, we shall pull the tent flap shut, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. No, we don't know when, but we know it is coming. It may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through shadow and darkness is breaking, that Jesus will come in the brightness of glory to receive from this world his own. Oh, it may be at midday, it might be at twilight, it may be perchance that the blackness of midnight will burst into light in the blaze of his glory when Jesus receives his own. Oh, joy, oh, delight, should we go without dying. No sickness, no sadness, no dread, no crying. Caught up in the sky with the Lord into glory when Jesus receives his own. Surely our hearts cry out, we who love him, "Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, 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 amen." And our hearts cry out, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We trust that these messages have been a blessing to your own heart. We trust that many of you have turned to Christ and are ready to meet him.